Welcome to the Nourish, Eat, Repeat podcast, helping people who want to improve their health and change their mindset around food so they can live the life they were designed and called for. I am your host, Adrienne Delgado, and in this podcast, I'll give you step-by-step action plans to reach your health goals, as well as my favorite recipes I know you and your family will enjoy. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Nourish, Eat, Repeat. I'm so glad you're here. Today we are talking about the topic, do you need a pantry raid? And this conversation came from a recent pantry raid that I did with one of my clients. They reached out and said, hey, by any chance, could you come into our home and kind of go through our cabinets and give suggestions? And then based off of what you see in our house, then can you go to the grocery store with us and help me shop and kind of give me direction where I should be looking in the store? What should I be looking at labels? And I was like, absolutely. Like, I think it is such an honor and a privilege to be invited into somebody's home to be able to have a conversation about nutrition. And so it just gives me a little bit more insight than, you know, when somebody comes into the office for an in-person visit. Sometimes I get to look at people's cabinets and pantries during virtual visits, which is nice because then clients can literally pull out products and say, what do you think about this? And what should I look for when I'm looking at a label and I'm looking for pretzels, right? Like, we can have those really great conversations, but when I get to be inside of a home and learn more about a person and their preferences and their routines, it really just allows us to open up the conversation and come up with some really great ideas. So if that's something you're ever interested in and you're local, definitely reach out. We are happy to set something up and help you reach your goals. So I figured, hey, listen, if I'm going to go into people's homes and tell them about what foods they should have in their pantry, maybe we should do a podcast about it. And I can maybe give some offerings and some little nuggets of wisdom to help you figure out if you need a pantry raid, right? You know, if I were to come and look in your cabinets, would you be really excited? Would you be nervous? Would you be embarrassed? Would you be encouraged? So, you know, some people will tell me, they're like, oh, you're like sitting right here on my shoulder at all times. Like, I always hear your voice. And let's see if we can talk about your pantry and see if there are opportunities that we can clean some things up. I will never tell you, you are not allowed to eat your favorite foods. Right? You've heard me say this before. I will say it a million times over. I will never ask you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. And I do like to have treats every once in a while. But I think the biggest part of that sentence that I want you to take home is every once in a while. The cabinet and the pantry are usually where we have a lot of hyperpalatable foods, hyperprocessed foods, and if we're only eating them every once in a while, we're not really having a conversation. The problem is when we're reaching for those foods all the time and when they're replacing opportunities to eat healthier options, right? A lot of times when I tell my clients, when you're thinking about a snack, I always want you to go to the refrigerator first. The reason I want you to go to the refrigerator is because that is where all the living food is, right? The foods in the pantry, you know, they can stick around for a while and not go bad, but the foods in the refrigerator have a shelf life. And if they are living foods, then that means they have nutrients in them, vitamins, minerals, things that actually help our bodies thrive and feel better. The foods in the cabinet and the pantry, some of them, you know, let's be honest, they're more dead foods, right? They're just a combination of chemicals and fake ingredients, and that's why they can sit on the shelf for months and months over time and not change their composition. You know, those foods that we're leaving sit on the shelves and we're choosing most often are ultimately what are becoming the raw materials to make cells in our body. So do we want to use foods that have life in them so that our cells have life and feel energized? Or do we want to be eating a lot of foods that are processed and dead because ultimately they are going to impact how we feel, our energy levels, our mood, our focus, our performance? Of course, we want to eat live foods. And most people, again, when it comes to nutrition, I would say 90% of people that come into the office, they know what they should be doing. It's just the execution piece. It's the part of, you know, when it's 9 o'clock at night and all of a sudden everybody around me is eating a snack and now I want a snack too. We know we should be picking fruits and vegetables, but yet we're picking cookies and ice cream. Or we're picking a bag of chips. Or we're going through our kids' snacks, right? That's another one I hear a lot. Well, you know, I have to buy snacks for the kids, but then when the kids go to bed, I'm raiding those snacks, right? You know, eating handful of tortilla chips or goldfish crackers or cookies that, again, are supposed to be for the kids, but we end up enjoying after they go to bed. And so this pantry ends up being, can be, a place of contention, right? Like foods that we know we shouldn't be eating, but yet we can't help ourselves because, you know, when it's 9 o'clock at night and I've had a rough day and I deserve a treat for, you know, doing so well, or, you know, even the weekends, I was good all week. Now I just want to have some more snacks. And if that pantry is loaded with hyperpalatable foods that are designed to light up and excite pleasure centers of the brain, who's going to pick broccoli? Who's going to pick an apple when you have those items right at your fingertips? So we know that proximity and location is really important. And the more readily accessible these foods are to you, let's face it, the more likely you are going to grab them. So we want to try to make sure that the pantry is a nice balance of great healthy items, but maybe we don't need it to be fully stocked with all the other items. Because again, a more fully stocked pantry of hyperpalatable foods will most likely get emptied faster than if you only have a few items. So let's talk about what does healthy pantry staples, what does that look like? All right, so, you know, we have different categories. We have whole grains, beans, nuts, seeds. Fruits and vegetables can also be in your pantry, obviously, if they're the canned variety. Or I guess if you're storing some root vegetables, you could maybe have them in your pantry. Cooking liquids, seasonings, these are the things that we ideally most want in our pantry. So things like dried beans and lentils, all right? Whole grain pastas. For my gluten-free friends, maybe we're looking at chickpea pasta or lentil pasta, right? Some type of grain. Maybe we're looking at things like quick rolled or steel cut oats, right? And there's different opportunities to use each of them. I tend to just keep more of the quick oats on hand because I like how fast they cook. But, you know, if you prefer the steel cut oats and you have the time to make them, I say go for it. We also want things like no extra salt veggies. Canned beans can be a really helpful time saver. No added salt diced tomatoes, low sodium or no sodium chicken broth, veggie broth. These are also great things to have in your pantry. Tahini to make sauces out of, nuts and nut butters. Seeds, things like almonds, or seeds. I say seeds and then I say the word almonds. When I meant nuts, things like almonds, cashews, walnuts, seeds, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, chia seeds. Those are all great things to have into your pantry. Wild and brown rices, farro, bulgur, barley, all those really great whole grains. You may also want to have some whole grain crackers or whole grain cereals in your pantry. Ideally, we want as many grains as possible because grains means fiber. Now, if you prefer whole wheat over multigrain, I'm not going to fight you. Right? It really doesn't matter to me which one you choose. I'm just looking for a great fiber source. So I get the question often, you know, what is better, whole grain or whole wheat? The operative word is just whole. We want the foods as close to their original state as possible. All right. If you're looking for different cooking liquids and seasonings, maybe we're talking about olive oil, avocado oil. Oh my goodness. Olive oil and avocado oil. You may also want some different vinegars in your pantry, like cider vinegars. Apple cider vinegar is a great natural probiotic. Dijon mustard is a great option to have in your pantry as a base to marinades or dressings. I always try to have low sodium soups in my pantry. For most adults, remember, if you're middle age or older, which is middle age is 40, the upper limit of sodium in our diet is around 1500 milligrams a day. So if you're choosing to have soups in your pantry, just keep that in mind, that 1500 is a day's worth of sodium. So choosing low sodium versions are always going to be a great option. All right. So and as far as snacks, I know I mentioned whole grain crackers can be great, or pita chips, whole grain tortillas. These are some things that we have in our pantry. We also tend to have popcorn in our pantry often, as well as different trail mixes. I always have some canned fruit available just for some quick, convenient options. So if I'm doing canned fruit, I always have unsweetened applesauce, always have that on hand. And another thing I always have on hand is crushed pineapple. Sometimes it's just an easy add-on to my cottage cheese if I'm doing that for lunch. If I am looking for canned fruit, I always try to look for no added sugar, right? So finding fruit packed in its own juice. Always have canned beans in my pantry. That is definitely a staple for us. Easy to make a bean salad for lunch, or throw beans in tacos or chilies or soups. I'm always looking for opportunities to throw beans. It's not something I grew up eating, but definitely have found myself reaching for them more and more. Now, I am going to be honest with you. If you buy canned beans, they're going to have sodium attached to it. So you do want to make sure you run them through a colander, rinse them off really well. That gets rid of about 2/3 of the sodium. If salt is something that you are sensitive to and that you have been told to watch, then your better alternative would be to buy a bag of dried beans and soak them overnight and then cook them, just because then you don't have to worry about the salt. But if you're okay in terms of salt, then I say buy the canned cooked beans, because nothing is easier than just opening the lid and immediately having a cooked food available. Other foods that I have in my pantry is I usually always have canned tuna, maybe one or two containers of canned chicken, or the salmon pouches, tuna pouches. We always try to have some of those protein options available. I realized when I was talking about what are some good things to have in your pantry, I am mostly talking about my pantry as well. We don't keep our bread in our pantry. We keep it in a basket on the one side of the kitchen. But breads are also a great option to have in your pantry. An excellent source of fiber, looking for whenever you're buying any type of grain. So whether we're talking rice, pasta, crackers, breads, cereals, we always want to look for at least 3 grams of fiber or more. Ideally more, even 5 grams or more, but we always want to look for that at least 3 grams of fiber. Then we know we have a healthier option. And right there, when you're buying snack items, just using your 3 grams of fiber rule, that's going to, you know, it is going to weed out a lot of the hyper processed foods, right? When you're looking for a snack item, you know, most potato chips don't have 3 grams of fiber. there's just not a lot of nutritional value. There's more empty calories. And again, I'm not saying that you can never buy a bag of chips. I just want there to be more high fiber items in your pantry than low fiber options. Because remember, again, when it's 8:30 at night and you start to get hungry, if your pantry is filled with a lot of low fiber foods that are quick and easy to access, when you're exhausted, you're most likely going to choose them. So let's set yourself up for success by minimizing how many options are available to you, right? Basically, I want you to be like a kid when you're like, oh, there's nothing to eat in here. And you're like, there's plenty to eat in there. No, there's just nothing to eat that's a fun food, because that's basically what our kids are saying. There's nothing fun to eat. And honestly, when you don't have a lot of fun foods in the house, meaning like these hyperpalatable foods, you realize that you're not hungry most of the time that you're seeking those foods out, right? How many times have you gone into the pantry and you're like, ugh, there's nothing to eat, and then you walk away and then you go find something else to do, right? You were never hungry to begin with. If you were hungry, you would stay in the kitchen and figure it out. You would start looking for other options. But most of the time that we're grabbing those foods, it's not because we're hungry, it's because we're bored or we're tired. Oh my goodness, I hear this so often. Clients recognizing that when they're eating at night, it's not out of boredom or reward, it's out of exhaustion. I realize I'm going to eat because I'm tired and I want energy because I don't want to go to bed yet. This is finally my time. And they're using food as an energy source to stay awake longer, but then they're also eating more calories. All right. So again, when you don't have a lot of options available and you think you're hungry, but you don't like your options and you walk away, guess what? You weren't that hungry. All right. Now, when we're looking for packaged foods, one of the things we definitely have to look at is trans fat. All right. A lot of times companies will put trans fats into products to increase the shelf life, to let these products stay on the shelf even longer. Now, in 2006, we added trans fat to the nutrition label. And so you're probably used to seeing trans fat on a nutrition facts panel just under, it'll say total fat, saturated fat, trans fat on the nutrition label in that order. We now know how unhealthy trans fat is. I mean, I believe the upper limit in terms of health is 1 gram a day. That's how terrible it is for us. But again, these foods that are designed to sit on shelves for a very long time may have trans fat in them. The rule is if it's less than 0.5 grams of trans fat, the label is allowed to list it as zero. So I usually steer my clients to the ingredient list. Anytime they are eating a hyperpalatable food or a hyperprocessed food, and I want them to look for the words partially hydrogenated. All right. If you see the words partially hydrogenated in front of an oil, whether that's partially hydrogenated sunflower oil, partially hydrogenated safflower oil, partially hydrogenated palm oil, again, could care less what the oil source is, but those words partially hydrogenated, they mean trans fat. And let's be clear. Usually, people are not eating one serving of hyperprocessed foods. They're just not, right? When you're eating chips, how many people are actually counting out 8 chips? Now you're going in by the handfuls. Before you know it, you've eaten half the bag. And if there's 0.4 grams of trans fat in one serving and you've consumed half a bag, well, guess what? You might be up to 4 grams of trans fat by the end of that snack and not even know it. So we always want to look for partially hydrogenated oils when we're buying a snack food. All right. The other thing to look at is sugar, because a lot of hyperpalatable foods are designed to ignite and light up and excite pleasure centers of your brain, and they do that with sugar. So trying to look for products that don't have sugar as the first 3 ingredients, I will say things like honey and maple syrup, those are sugars too. They're just in a liquefied form. But really looking at the amount of sugar that's added to products to make it taste better. So again, added sugars are what we are concerned about, not necessarily total sugars. Added sugars are sugars that either the manufacturer adds to make a product taste better or that you add to make a product taste better. So think of putting sugar in your coffee. That is an added sugar. All right. I'm trying to think of a shelf-stable food that would have added sugar. Craisins, right? Dried fruit. There's naturally occurring sugars in fruit, but then the manufacturer also adds sugar to the dried fruit to make it taste even better. All right, so you will always see on a nutrition label total sugars, and then under that, it will say includes this amount of grams of added sugar. And that's the one I want to pay attention to, right? Ideally, we want to keep that added sugar low. Remember, women, no more than 24 grams of added sugar a day. Men, no more than 36 grams of added sugar. Kids, no more than 12 grams of added sugar. So when you are going through your pantry, I want you to look at the cereals you have on hand. You know, a good rule for kids is, you know, definitely look for single digit added sugar options, right? That's where I started with my kids, right? I want you to look for cereal that has a single digit, so 9 or less. Ideally, we want 5 or less, but when you're starting out, maybe we start out with just single digit added sugars. All right. So when I'm going through somebody's pantry, I'm specifically looking for fiber. I'm looking at added sugar and I'm looking at hydrogenated oils because these are the big three. And just even starting with this is going to put you in a better position, right? Just starting with these three items. Again, we want to create some type of distance between hyperpalatable foods and us selecting them on a regular basis. So I know some of my clients keep their snack items in another room, like in the basement or in the garage. Again, it's not that they don't have them available if they want them. They just don't have them 3 feet away at all times. So it can make a difference. But whenever you're looking to make nutrition changes, I always say start with your kitchen first. Like, please do not try to, you know, capture the whole entire grocery store and all the products they offer your very first time. Like, that would be silly. It would be overwhelming. You would be, you'd be overwhelmed and then you would ditch your cart by the end of the second aisle because it's just too much. So whenever you're looking to make changes to your health, always start by going to your own pantry first and just start looking at the items that you have available and accessible, right? Maybe it's time to try some new items. Maybe we try new grains like bulgur or farro if you haven't tried that yet, quinoa if you haven't, right? You can also try some bulk sections. That has a lot of great opportunities for healthy items at a discounted price. And you may find yourself enjoying some new grains that you've never tried before, right? So just before we end, though, I want to give you just three benefits to doing a pantry raid, to like going through your cabinets and maybe transitioning your inventory. Number one, going through your pantry gives you an awareness of your choices. Right? Let's be honest, we get lazy over time. We get lazy. We're like, oh, you know what? I'm only going to buy this one time. And then everybody likes it. You like it. And before you know it, it's now a staple in your diet. So going through your pantry, you know, specifically looking for things like fiber and added sugars and hydrogenated oils is an opportunity for you to just become aware of what foods you're allowing into your home and which foods you're choosing most often. Because remember, the foods in the back of the pantry, the ones that are hard to reach and that it's dark back there and you can't see, you're probably not picking those foods, right? All those good things that eventually got shoved to the back, it happens in my house too, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the foods that have, you know, prime real estate right front and center in your pantry that you are choosing the most often, right? But it brings awareness to our choices, right? That's one of the benefits of doing a pantry raid. Number two, it's an opportunity to reset, right? It's a teaching moment. All right, you know, we've kind of gotten away from this. I want to say the last time I did a really great, thorough pantry raid was over COVID, right? Because part of it was, let's do an inventory of what we have, because I don't know if I'm going to be allowed to go to the grocery store, or I don't know if I'm going to be able to get what I need when I need it. So let's start being better stewards of the resources I already have in my home and start incorporating some of these ingredients into meals that I have in home, right? So, I mean, I'm being straight up honest with you. The last time I did a very thorough pantry raid was back in 2020. So we're 2024 now. It's probably time to do another deep clean. And if that feels overwhelming because you just have a lot of options in the house, maybe you just start with one shelf, right? I always try to break down big projects into very little manageable projects because I don't have time to do, or at least I tell myself I don't have time to clean out an entire pantry, but I do have time to clean out one shelf. And our pantry is, I think, six shelves. So technically, I could have the whole project done in a week if I broke it up into small enough chunks. And so that might be a good option for you, right? And once you do the pantry, then maybe you start going through some of the cabinets until eventually you transition your inventory into something that you're really happy with. All right. And then the other benefit, the last benefit of doing a pantry raid is it does allow you to take inventory of what you have. And that's really helpful at decreasing food waste, right? How often do you find something in the back of the fridge or back of the pantry and you're like, oh, I didn't even know we had this. And I've had this since 2018. Like, I need to get rid of it. It's time. And so by rotating your inventory in your pantry, putting some of the foods that need to be eaten first in the front, I mean, it just makes sense in decreasing food waste, which is already a huge problem in our country, and we need to do better. So if you're thinking about doing your own pantry raid, maybe start here, right? Start with some of the suggestions that I gave you, some of the foods to replace some of the other foods that maybe aren't as healthy for you. Hopefully this episode was helpful in giving you a place to start and a place where you can feel comfortable. Obviously, if you have more questions, you can reach out to me. I'm always happy to answer them, or schedule an appointment, right? Schedule an appointment with a dietitian. Remember, most insurance plans cover nutrition counseling. Like, very rarely do any of our patients have an out-of-pocket cost, a copay, or have to pay out of pocket, just because most insurances have recognized how beneficial it is to talk to somebody about their diets. And it's a great prevention, you know, before something more serious happens. Making these changes now is worth it, right? It's worth it because then when we get older and there's more wear and tear in our body and our bodies don't work as quickly or as great as they used to, you know, then we open ourselves up to different diseases like high cholesterol and diabetes and hypertension. So making these changes now is always going to be a great idea. Making these changes and doing this with our children, having a conversation, getting them involved and have them look for things like fiber and hydrogenated oils and sugars on labels. I mean, we're teaching them how to take care of themselves, which is one of the best gifts that we can give them. So I say, if you can wrangle one or two kids to help you do it and you can use it as a teaching moment, all the better. All right, let's get you your recipe for the week. So this week, a lot of these ingredients come right from your pantry. And it is a honey garlic chickpea. All right, so this is a great healthy snack option. For this recipe, you're going to need 1.5 tablespoons of coconut oil, 2.5 cups of chickpeas cooked. So that's where the canned chickpeas works really well. So rinse them off, drain them, and then measure out 2.5 cups. You're also going to need 2 tablespoons of honey, 1 tablespoon of chili powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, and 2 garlic cloves minced. First thing you're going to do is heat the oil in a pan and add the chickpeas. Saute for 5 minutes or until they start to brown. And then you're going to add in your honey, chili powder, salt and pepper, and garlic. Cook for another 1 to 2 minutes. Okay, so you can eat these just as they are. You could also serve them with dinner, like serve them over jasmine rice or quinoa. You could also serve it with some vegetables like roasted asparagus. So again, you can just eat these the way they are. They're not the crunchy chickpeas. These are a honey garlic savory chickpea, but you can eat, you know, let them cool and then have them as a great snack because again, they're high in fiber and protein, or you can serve them with your meals. All right. So I hope all of you have a fantastic week and I'll see you next time. Take care. Thanks for listening to the Nourish, Eat, Repeat podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please rate, review, and share with others so we can reach and help more people. For more information about nutrition, how to work with a dietitian, or about any of our programs, visit our website at bodymetricshealth.com. You can also find us on socials. We're on Instagram and Facebook at Bodymetrics Health. The book Nourish, Eat, Repeat is available on our website and Amazon in both paperback and ebook versions. Once again, I'm Adrienne Delgado, and I'll see you next week.